Consent agenda, we previously reviewed items 1 and 2 at our March 25th committee meeting. Addressed items 3 and 4 this morning. Call for individual discussion, and based upon Regent's comments, we want to pull out number 4 for some further discussions with regard to details of the third truck contract. Is there any other items that a region would desire to pull out for individual discussions with respect to 1, 2, or 3? Hearing none, I entertain a motion for approval of items 1, 2, and 3 as recommended by the Executive Committee.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion by Regent Bell, seconded by Regent Johnson.
No.
I mean Smith. Excuse me, Tamla.
You got my name, isn't it?
Yeah. Any further discussion? All in favor of approval?
Just one comment.
Oh,
okay.
I'm sorry.
No question. Just a comment. Since I seem to be always asking questions, Todd, I've talked with Todd a little bit, and I just want to say something I think is a positive. I think one of the difficulties is that athletics is a really tough budget to understand. It comes from many sources, and sometimes when you don't understand anything and a campus is filled with people who are good thinkers and critical thinkers, you ask questions that are hard to answer. So I just want to tell Todd I appreciate the fact that he's providing some help on understanding it, and part of what I believe that I couldn't see earlier is that some of the criteria for reaching the incentives that you can get in a coaching contract are based on moving performance indicators beyond where they are now. And I think the difficulty is, Todd, that when you don't know what those are, when you don't know what the base is, you don't know if they're beyond what you are now. So I think we've talked about some ways to help bring some transparency to that can be helpful on campus, and it was helpful to me.
Thank you. Oh, just one quick comment as well. Kind of reiterating some of the things I said in committee when we discussed it, but I know there was discussion on increasing contracts and things, but I think it's important that the board recognized that staff positions, which includes athletics, are paid fair market value. If we don't pay people fairly, whatever that market value is, we will lose staff, just as we've seen with the nearly 22% turnover rate that we had last year. And so, you know, I wish that staff, as I said, could have the cheering crowds when they're making the big plays every week, but we don't. But I hope that at some point we can find a way to extend increases to the staff.
It's coming this afternoon.
Thank you. Anyone else? Call the vote. All in favor of approval of items 1, 2, and 3, aye?
Aye.
Opposed, no. Passes unanimously. We have a little individual on item number 4. Jim, you want to possibly come forward and give us some appropriate information on the details of the executive search firm process?
Yes, sir. And this will be brief unless you have questions. Mr. Zelke had a good question about the contract itself, and I'll tell you what I think is occurring today, or what we intended to occur today, is a closing of the selection process or the RFP process by awarding a bid to Isaacson Miller. Following today's action by this board, we will develop a contract and sign that contract. So we haven't done that step yet. Now, certainly, once we do that after today's action, we're absolutely willing to share that prior to its being signed, if you prefer. But this action, as I'm seeing it, doesn't necessarily approve the contract. It approves the awarding of a bid. So,
well, awarding of a bid is a contract. Once you go through the process, whether it's personal service contract, competitive bid contract, non-competitive bid contract, and it's a proposal or it's a bid and you award, in the eyes of the law, that's a contract. I don't want to cause you all any grief. I sound like my friend Mr. Ridley over there. I don't want to cause grief to anybody, but I'm uncomfortable approving a contract I haven't seen, or provisions, even an outline of what it would be helpful. Is there a reason that you want to not, or show us the proposal?
Oh, no, sir. Everyone, I think, has seen that proposal or has been shared.
We did get, Larry, proposals from each of the firms that came. And I guess one of the questions is, to what extent are we pretty much going along the lines of the proposal of what they said they would do and the cost factors, and where are we getting variances? And any variances you might be getting were intended to pull down the cost. But you didn't see that proposal, and
No. We
all did when we came to that
vetting
of the service.
The contract has to go, or the bid has to go to Frankfurt from here to be approved.
I think that's a formality. I think the...
And then,
because
and
of the model procurement code,
it would be the May meeting, as I understand it.
You're saying that but we're going to accept it today, is my problem. We got offer, which is a bid, acceptance is what we're doing today. I think then sending it up to Frankfurt just for a stamp of probably the Finance Administration Secretary is a formality.
Mr. Chairman.
I hope you're right.
I thought we were selecting. We went through a interview process, and we have selected our choice. That's what I thought we did.
Mm-hmm.
And then we turned the negotiation over to the procurement group to negotiate the best contract to be approved. But I thought today we were just stamping who we picked.
But that's
what we did. We have to do that first. We got to pick who we want before we can get a contract executed.
We have to engage them before we can negotiate the terms of the final terms of their contract.
I thought that's already negotiated.
No, but don't we have a deadline in order to get that to state in order to be able to use that firm?
The general counsel and the parliamentarian, perhaps, is board action required to close the bid process and proceed to engage a contract?
No. We engage in contracts such as this all the time through purchasing.
So, I mean, you have a choice whether you want to take formal action or just give
a nod to
the search committee to proceed to negotiate a contract with the identified firm.
Exactly.
So you don't have to take action on this. You're already engaged in the conversation. So it's the will of the board.
Exactly.
It can be expressed without taking formal action.
My understanding was that it would be the May meeting before it would actually be completed, because it's got to go through Frankfurt, and I hope it is a formality, but I don't know that we can predict too much of what's happening in Frankfurt right now. So terms have been discussed, and I think we have a reasonable agreement that was part of the presentation 3 weeks ago with them.
Well, maybe it should be approving the selection of this company, and then subject to the board's approval. That's not what this says. This is awarding of a bid is different. Approving a selection.
And they understand that it's got to be approved at Frankfurt, and the contract wouldn't be final till after that's done, and this board then.
Well, that would be that's the.
So I understand what you're saying, and I think.
Well, let me make a motion this way. Move to approve the selection of
Isaacson Miller.
Isaacson Miller with a proposed contract to be presented to the board and subject to approval by the Commonwealth. So that way we're just approving the selection.
The last language, right. Because we do have the right to override the contract review committee if they don't approve it, and this motion might be interpreted to take that.
Well, let's take that part out. Let's just make the motion that I'll change my motion. Make a motion to approve the selection of the bidder Again, subject to this board's approval of a personal service contract.
And we've been given assurance. I think Jim will agree with me. I know I've been given assurance that will be enough, and they're ready to get started and do some work based on this board.
Mr. Parliamentarian, is that accepting adequate?
Your motion is adequate, yes.
Okay.
All right, for clarity, Rich and Jill, could you repeat that? So
I'll try. My motion is to approve the selection of, help me again.
Isaacson Miller.
Selection to be the search committee contractor, then subject to this board's approval of a personal service contract.
All the regents understand the motion?
Well, I do have a question. No, I do have a question. I don't know if it's appropriate to ask the question before a second.
Well, we've kind of reversed this. Let's get a second, and then we can open it up for discussion. Seconded by Barbara, or excuse me, Regent Barbara.
Did you second?
I second.
You got a motion and a second, so we can now have discussion.
My question is, I heard a comment a minute ago, and I want to make sure I'm clear. Are you asking in your motion that this contract come back to the board for approval after a certain time frame?
Yes, because it's not a contract. This is my motion was to approve the selection of Isaacson Miller, but then subject to the awarding of a contract by this board.
Okay.
That's been my understanding of it the whole time.
Elementary.
Well, I agree with what both Larry and John said. This is a selection, not approval of a contract. I agree with that completely. My question is, and I may be recalling this incorrectly, but once we've approved that, is it not up to the administration to, under our bylaws, to approve contracts without further board approval? And that's a question, not a statement. I believe that's what I wish I'd brought them with me. I always bring them with me except for today.
The bylaws do delegate authority to the president to approve contracts on behalf of the university and the board.
So this particular motion would go beyond that bylaw or override that provision of the bylaw. That's my question.
I guess the crux of it isn't necessary for it to come back to the board to approve it.
It is under his motion.
Well, yeah.
Okay. And then the reason I raise that question is it then comes to the point, Larry, that this is an extended period of time during a search process. And it could be precious time.
I understand.
That's what would concern me. Precious time is being lost or could potentially be lost because do you understand what I'm saying, Regent Bale?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I apologize for this. Again, without having seen the proposal and what the contract's going to look like, maybe I'll just abstain and cause you all a lot of less grief. I don't want to get in the way of the search committee. But I also, like I told you before, I am uncomfortable as a regent, and I know you all can't hold your breath till I'm off this board, to vote on something that I haven't seen.
Let me propose a compromise, because I think you're right. But we're not asking here today for an approval of a contract. We're asking for approval of the search committee, and then Jim will commence his activity. So let me propose, and I'm not doing this in a motion because one's on the
right.
table, but what if instead of a contract, once we approve it, the contract comes forward and Frankfurt gives its blessing, comes back to us, the compromise would be that the administration proceed with that contract unless the board requests the approval, that it come back to us for a review. So a regent could come up and say, wait a minute, I'm uncomfortable with the terms of this contract. Let's come back. And failing to get that, I don't know if I've stated that very clearly or not.
That's a different deal from what I've...
You're asking that absolute approval by the board of the contract. I'm saying that the board would have to ask for the contract to come back for approval, so it's automatically approved once the administration has said yes, unless there's an objection by a region.
Was there a reason that the proposals were not made
available to all board members? They were mailed to all board members and the election committee several weeks ago.
That is my bad.
We spent all day with proposals.
Jim, what do you need to, what is required when you take this to Frankfurt for their consideration? Does it require that the board have approved it?
That's a good question.
No, sir. It does not. If it bears the president's signature, then they consider it, and it's in a prescribed format that I already have in draft form. So it would not require this board's approval.
But it does imply that the president is ready to enter into a contract because he signed it. So we're back to the latest point.
There is a form that I signed for every personal service contract that goes before the contract review board. I must sign a form assuring the contract review board that I have approved that contract. That's a requirement before it can go before that committee, yep. So this would be no different.
But so, if I understand it right, there has been some negotiation, though, as well, mm-hmm. from their proposal?
Yes, there has. And I can share with you exactly what those things are.
Why don't you take a vote on that?
Well,
you've got a motion on the floor.
I understand. Let's continue discussion. Is there further follow-up questions? Jim, do you feel comfortable with the public disclosure of what those points of negotiations are today?
It might be easier if I was able to share that proposal, which I can get today. I can have it before we leave today and talk with Mr. Zelke about what the pricing proposal was and those things that were changed.
Is it a extension of the proposal that was submitted in their packet to each of the board members and search committee members in our presentation?
It is just a modification of some of the terms of that proposal.
More favorable to the university or not?
Yes, sir. More favorable.
Okay. It might be helpful to share with him the other three proposals, too, so that he...
I have full confidence in the search committee. I don't want to redo your work. If you've all met with them and you looked at the proposals and you found that this Isaacs Miller is the best, I'm fine with that. That's your role, and I believe in that. It's just that now there's something out there that has been negotiated, and I'm sure the university has great negotiators, and that's going to be the contract. I'd just like to know what that is.
And I can get you that today.
Well, that's not going to help us as far as
not help us at this moment.
Now, I don't think we've got that point.
Well, the original motion, and I'm not talking about Larry's, but the original motion was to award the bid to Isaacs and Miller. That's what the original proposal in the agenda items is. And now, as Dr. Capps indicated, there is a different motion on the floor.
The original motion of awarding the bid to Isaacs and Miller with nothing else added to it would implicitly say that it be signed off by administration. Is that right?
Yes. That's the way I interpret it, Barbara.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's what my problem is.
But you...
I don't know what that looks like.
Would it be entirely inappropriate to take a short break and...
not at all.
And let Mr. Zelke and... talk with Jim about this and come back?
Which is what every board member has seen. It's in the proposals that we mm-hmm. got from mm-hmm. each of the four committees that presented that day.
Except for these changes.
Except for the mm-hmm. changes which he's indicated, and I'm clarifying, he's indicated are more favorable to the mm-hmm. university.
And honestly, I'll offer this. I think I can remember the terms of that proposal and the things that were changed. So if you'd like, I'm happy to share those with you.
Could he proceed with that?
I think that's a good idea, but remember, we're talking about terms of contract. It shouldn't be in an open session unless you two can talk about it in private session. And it wouldn't be.
The terms of the bid remain confidential until the contract.
Right? Yeah.
Help me to recall, this board, the executive committee, was charged with interviewing numerous RFPs were sent out, which we approved. Mm-hmm. They came back to this board. We had an executive committee meeting inviting the search committee to that. We filtered all of those, brought them down to four. We spent another day with another two. We brought them to two. We charged, gave the authority to the chairman of the search committee to go back, review referrals, interview those that had been successful with each firm, and come back from the search committee with a recommendation of the two. And that is who is in front of us. And now we are selecting them using our procurement process to strike the best deal, as he does in all situations, to come up with a contract that then is signed by the president under our protocol that goes to Frankfurt. Is that the way I understand this works?
Exactly.
I think you're dead on.
Exactly.
So the motion is we have continued in the process that we've been charged to do, and the vote should be, the word bid is really an inappropriate word. It is the selection that pushes this process on through the procedures we already have established. Then if Mr. Zilke wants to see the contract is after it, the moment before it goes to President Ransel's desk. Is that correct?
That would be correct.
Okay. So we just need to vote that we've selected. That's what we were charged to do. And then we follow the procedure that already exists.
And to do that, though,
we got to take
we have to change the motion or defeat this motion and do what you say.
Make an amendment to the wordage.
Or he can always withdraw his motion.
That's what
Oh, okay.
What if I withdraw the motion?
And the seconder also has to withdraw. So.
You're my second.
The second was Dr. Birch.
Okay. He withdraws our second. Is that right?
You withdraw your second.
I would do it.
Okay, now, everybody. So the new motion is to approve the selection of Isaacs and Miller. Well, that's it. And then once, and can we do it this way? And then before the president signs the contract, he sends a copy to the board?
No. The procedure then is that we make the selection, they negotiate, and he has the authority under our policies to sign the contract. That's the way it's always worked.
All I'm adding was, and before he signs it, he makes it available to the board members.
Happy to do so.
That's all I'm suggesting.
You've got to have approval of those terms, you just want to see it.
Fine. See it.
Fine.
Ms. Deborah, you fine with that?
Sure.
General counsel? So the clarity is that before the president signs it, he will share the details with the board just for purposes of disclosure of the term, but not for approval or acceptance.
Let me provide some clarity I think that could be helpful. John just described the normal university process for contract authorization, which the president has as delegated by the board. This is not a normal circumstance. You're hiring a search firm to lead the process to select the university's next president, which is the single most important action that a board can take. And so, therefore, it seems perfectly reasonable before I sign that contract that we send that to all the board members to have. And if anybody's got any thoughts or concerns, let me know. And we'll give you a week or so to do that. We'll send it to Frankfurt. Move the process along in the normal course of business.
That's my motion.
Fair enough.
Sorry, the only problem I see with that is when I go to this firm, if I was them, I wouldn't want to get started till that was done. So back to John's point, we're going to lose some precious time with that. But so be it. If that's what needs to transpire, another week or two.
Yeah, and we don't need to lose. We don't need to lose any time.
I really don't need to be weighing in on your process in this regard, but I would encourage the board and the search committee to allow Isaacs and Miller to get started. And that's the risk they take. And this is not uncommon. They deal with this and with every institution in which they become engaged. Let them get started. Make pace. Make the best use of time. We'll try to get a contract signed as quickly as possible. And we're kind of bound by the date of the next date of the contract review board.
We have to get the contract to Frankfurt by April.
Yes, he did.
April 30th, whatever the last day, the last working day of April.
29th.
The 29th, and then the contract review committee will meet the second Tuesday of May, I believe. It should be the second week of May. Otherwise, we can't get on the agenda again until June. There are no exceptions to that. It can't get there the first part of May and go on the agenda. It has to be there the last day of April.
So we have 1 week to get it.
That's your issue in terms of timing.
1 week to get it there.
And because of the amount of this contract, it does have to have their approval before the contract, before the firm can begin work.
I call the question.
Now, what's the motion?
Well, we don't.
Motion.
I'd like to make a motion to revise the wording. I think that'll suit everyone. I believe we have a commitment from President Ransdell to provide us with that contract before we vote move forward. So approval?
Mm-mm.
No. No vote. No vote. No vote. No, no, no. No vote.
I think.
You got a motion?
We're going to see the contract, but we're still going to. They're going to move forward, even if we don't. We're going to see the contract.
Right, but we have that commitment without having to put it in words.
Well, I think just did it in words, though.
You just did.
I thought Gary agreed that we could approve the selection. And before Gary signs it, in time enough to get to the contract review committee, so he'll make it available to the board members. And if a board member has a problem, they'll call Gary. Without any delay of any time. Because he's going to, after today's meeting, sounds to me like, he's going to get a copy of this thing right away. And within 48 hours or something, we can call Gary if there's a problem, which I don't anticipate.
Is discussion continuing on some motion that hadn't been seconded? Well, what are we doing?
I don't think Larry's
we don't have a motion.
Second.
There is no motion.
He's made a motion.
Made a motion.
But there's not been a second to it yet. The discussion's...
What is your motion, please?
My motion is that we approve the selection of Isaacs and Miller. And then simply that before the president, Mr. Ransdell, signs the contract, he makes it available to the board.
Second.
All right, now we have a motion and a second.
I can't vote for this motion, and the reason is it takes away from the process that we have established of how these things are executed. If we follow through on exactly what Larry is saying, then I'm not going to because I've been through this whole process, but if I call Gary and say, I have a problem with this, Gary, you don't need to sign it. Now we put the responsibility on the president not to follow the process at this board.
That's right.
And Gary's got to pick up the phone and call Larry and say, hey, Ridley's got a problem with it. Oh, by the way, we've got to go back. And now we're back in this circle. Mm-hmm. We need to follow the process that we've got set out. The executive board made a decision. We filter it down. This is about a choice of a firm. Then the process takes over as it always does.
And I think
we don't vote on paper towels.
Larry.
I mean, you know, let's get this process started. We've gone through the whole process.
Well, that paper towel contract's serious.
But if I heard what Deborah said a minute ago, John, I agree with you. It's in the bylaws as to, you know, whether we say it's our procedure or not, it's in the bylaws.
And if we start reviewing every contract, we're going to be in a mess.
Yeah.
We're not reviewing every contract.
I just want it to be over.
Chairman, I'd like to request that we have a 10-minute break and then come back and put the motion that John's talking about on the table or whoever is. And at that point, Mr. Selke, as he meditates in that 10 minutes or whatever he's going
to
do with it, can either decide to excuse himself from voting or whatever, and we vote on the motion as John said.
What she's asking for the 10-minute recess is, it's going to take him 5 minutes to show it to me. I'll read it in 5 minutes and we'll be done with this.
Okay.
Can we proceed with the agenda while they do that?
Sure.
Okay.
They withdrew their. She withdrew her second. Can she do that?
I withdraw my motion.
Yeah, that's withdrawn. So we're starting fresh, right?
Right.
I'm withdrawing my second.
All your motions are withdrawn?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, we're gonna allow Zilke's permission. Ms. Hill, step out with Jim, and they'll review. We're going to continue on with the information item from Robin Taylor on her legislative update.
Are you sure you don't want your
break
first?
Oh, no,
I do.
Time is precious.
Yeah, I know.
All right, well. I think you probably have most of it. I'll very quickly, mercifully, the legislative session did end. So we tracked 166 bills, 20 of them passed, only a few of them that I'll mention here. You all were aware of the board training bill, House Bill 15, that was sponsored by Education Chairman in the House, Derek Graham. And this just establishes 6 hours of mandatory orientation and board training for the governing boards of the four-year universities and KCTCS. And CPE will be in charge of administering that. So more details on that to come, but that bill did pass. They used it to as a vehicle to add another provision on ACT. And from an academic standpoint, Regent Birch may be a little bit more interested in this, but essentially they moved the language referencing ACT as the official college entrance exam from all statutes and just said college admissions exams. So it could be anything, just technical. House Bill 626 was kind of the big bill. I guess that at the end of the day, they threw everything into House Bill 626 that they also addressed in the budget. But in order to establish all these programs they put in the budget, they had to put them in a piece of legislation. House Bill 626 was known as the Work Ready Bill, and that was where the Work Ready Scholarship Program is established. That has been commonly deemed as the Community College Scholarship. The good news for all of us is that it will also apply to associate degree seeking students who are coming to the four-year universities, so it isn't just a community college bill. So it's basically a top-it-off program where they'll take all the scholarships, all the student aid that a student gets that's seeking an associate degree, and then top off the final tuition to make it free for students who meet those qualifications. There are a lot of details that still need to be worked out in this particular program. HEA, the Higher Education Assistance Authority, is going to work on those, and so we'll know a little bit more about how this program will be implemented. We do still offer some associate degree programs at WKU and particularly at WKU Glasgow, so a lot of people are looking at ways we might be able to take advantage of this program.
Robin?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that any associate degree program or any, including just a... Okay.
So far as we know, but again, we have the legislation, and then KEA will have to administer all the regs. It does live at KEA. It's another scholarship program, just like KEYS and some others. And so KEA will establish all the regulations. They've indicated they will do so by sometime in May to expedite this because it is available starting in the fall. So
the fall of this year?
Yes.
Can I ask you a question about this?
You can. I'll answer.
Where did the number come from? Is it adequate to do what?
KCTCS provided them the numbers. It was initially a KCTCS initiative. It was dedicated to KCTCS at the time, and then it was amended to allow associate degree-seeking students at four-year universities to take advantage as well. So KCTCS provided the numbers. The scholarship, and I'm sorry, Donna, there are several.
Okay, that's fine.
It's 4 semesters and 6 semesters, and it has to do with whether you stay in the whole time or you have 6 total semesters to complete. You're only eligible if you're a recent high school graduate or a GED recipient by age 19. So it's not available to the adult population. It's only available to the recent high school graduate. And they have to, and I'm getting there. Okay. You have to have a minimum of 15 hours each semester, and you have to maintain a cumulative GPA of a 2.5. And all of this was spelled out in the legislation. And if you fail to do either one of those two things, then you lose the scholarship and you have to pay it back for that particular semester. So it's got a lot of issues that need to be worked out.
But we can coordinate with our admissions group that if someone starts at one of those, we could actually recruit them to bring them here. That scholarship money would fund that student to attend WKU. Is that correct?
Well, a lot of discussion on that.
In those associate degree programs.
Exactly.
So a lot to be determined. Can I leave it at that? there are some discussions that are going on probably as we speak right now in Glasgow about the WKU Glasgow campus in particular, because they do offer probably the more associate degree programs than maybe some of the others do. As you probably realize, E-Town and Owensboro don't offer associate degrees at all. They're only the second 2 years. So then we've got a variety of associate degree programs on campus.
But it excludes anyone but the fresh out of high school.
Correct.
It's unfortunate.
Doesn't say a lot for workforce development.
No, it doesn't.
I will refrain from any further comment. So there's a total of about 9.4 million for that in the first year, 15.9 in the second year, so roughly $26 million available for this program over the biennium and going forward. So I suspect that a lot will probably be amended on this in the future as we see how it rolls out. The other thing they established in House Bill 626, which I would say we had not anticipated and had not heard about before, at least not in this particular form, is they established a dual credit scholarship. There has been a bill that has circulated for the last several years that would allow a student to take their current KEYS money, a high school student, to take their earned KEYS money and use it toward dual credit. We have not been for that because we think that dilutes what a student will have when they come to college. So this creates about $5 million in the first year, $10 million in the second year to provide scholarships to assist students who want to take dual credit in high school. They can only use it for three courses throughout high school. And then there are some other stipulations on pricing and all of that. But so I think Beth Lavis, who handles our dual credit, is probably pretty happy about that. It's going to give us some more options for offering more dual credit to more students. So that's and if that's the way they wanted to handle that, we're pleased. The other thing that House Bill 626 addresses is performance funding. You will recall that when I was with you all a few weeks ago and I outlined the Senate's plan on performance funding, we were, I guess, very successful at being able to persuade both Senate leaders and the House leaders to come to a compromise. And so they have established performance funding. They have not established metrics and statutes. So what it is the House's version to provide a work group that will be made up of the president's, the governor or his representative, the speaker of the House or his representative, and the president of the Senate or his representative, and the Council on Post-Secondary Education president will all put together. They will comprise a work group that will work through the summer and fall semester and come back to give a report and a recommendation for the performance funding metrics to be implemented in 2017.
Does the governor, the speaker, and the president's recommendation have to be a member of either the House, the Senate, or the administration?
Yes, I would say they do. That's how that typically would work.
No, I know, but I mean, there wasn't a mandate within the bill.
It just says, viewpoint. It says the speaker or his representative, okay. The Senate president, or the governor.
Okay.
And I mean, I think we probably assume we kind of know who's the most likely in each of those cases, but we'll see. And we'll report back to you. President Ransdell obviously will serve on that work group. It'll be big because it'll include all of the presidents and the KCTCS president. The other piece of that, so the metrics part, which we had a lot of concerns with the Senate's version, will now all be worked out and recommended for implementation or for legislation in 2017. The amount was the other piece. And if you will recall in the governor's budget, he recommended that we start moving toward one-third in this biennium and then eventually move to 100% of our state appropriation being based on performance funding. The Senate recommended 25% total all at once. The compromise is they will do 5% for 2017-18. They will do 15% in 2019, and they will do 25% in 2020. And that will be the amount going forward is 25%, and that is established in this legislation. So the goal is to get to 25% of our total state appropriation being determined by a performance funding metric. And so that's, again, where we ended up.
Question. Yep. Will each institution have the opportunity to get their 25% back?
Those are all the things that are to be determined by this work group. So the work group will make those recommendations, right. And because of the representation being inclusive of members of the House, Senate, and the executive, we should hope that whatever they come up with and recommend in December is what they will pass in the 2017 legislative session. That's the goal. And so then it'd be something we've all agreed on and we can all live with. The fourth piece of that of House Bill 626 was the Workforce Investment Fund. You probably remember hearing about this $100 million bond pool that the governor recommended to be available for workforce development projects. What that has how that sort of has worked out now is a $100 million bond pool with one project per congressional district to be awarded, and all of the details on that, I guess, are still to be worked out, I believe, by the Secretary of Education and Workforce Development. So that's really geared toward construction. We always knew it was geared toward construction, not programmatic funding, but that's the fourth part of House Bill 626. Now, the budget bill, which is the bill that you're most familiar with, I'll be really quick. 4.5% reduction in our recurring base. Equity funding, we did get equity funding. We got half of what we asked for, or a little less than half. But ultimately, they went with the Senate's proposal, so we would get $2.4 million in the 17-18 second year of the biennium. There were agency bonds ultimately included in the budget bill, which were not in the Senate version, and then there was some language in the House version that would have allowed us to proceed. But we did get approval in the budget for the student parking garage and also for the Garrett Conference Center, which was a late add-on. The final budget did also include $750,000 to fund the Mezzonet program, which is, I think we may have described that before to you all, but it is a statewide weather network. We've been operating that starting after 2007, and it is really the program that allows WKU to have a statewide impact, a statewide reach, and we have a lot of community partners, a lot of other partners like Farm Bureau, Transportation Cabinet, Emergency Management. So this is a very important project for us, and the funding is critical. We've reached out to the governor's office to ask them to support that. I mentioned performance funding, work-ready program, dual credit scholarships. There were no capital projects funded in this budget, so the College of Business building, Dr. Katz, did not make it through. But it was actually never on any of the House, Senate, or governor's budget, so we sort of knew that wasn't going to happen, and I hate that for us and certainly for the College of Business. And we also did not get any relief on our retirement obligations for the increases in employer contributions. They had given us half of that back in the budget prior, but they never, ever addressed that in this budget, though we did ask. They did actually in the Republican House budget include that, but it never got a vote. So there was anything else on the budget that I might need to answer? There's one more thing I want to mention. Okay. And finally, we mentioned this to you, I think, one time before, or maybe in a general communication, but we did have a little gift at the end, a result of some very, very hard work. I want to recognize those folks. The SARA bill, State Authorization Reciprocity Agreement, which really impacts our distance learning. Dr. Beth Lavis spent a good bit of time in Frankfurt. But Jennifer Smith, who works as our Director of Government and Community Relations with me in Frankfurt, Jennifer spearheaded this bill. She worked with the sponsor. We worked very closely with our colleagues, particularly at UK. But Jennifer worked really, really hard, bulldogging this bill all the way through. And having Beth up there and Julie Green is from DLO as well, and so the bill passed. It was unanimous in both houses and signed by the governor. So that was a good win for us. And so that's it. If there's anything else, I'll be happy to answer. I will tell you the governor has a few more days to veto any of the bills. A lot of stuff passed in the final day. Mm-hmm. I don't know that every flurry of bills come out, and it's pretty typical. But it was a little bit. It was kind of like the dam broke, and they all came out. And we're still kind of going through this week trying to figure out what's in all those bills. So he has until the 27th to do any of his veto actions. He can line item anything in the budget bill. I believe because of the budget nature of maybe House Budget 626, he may have some authority to line item that. I'm not 100% certain about that. I've been told that's true. And then the other bills he has to veto either in total or sign them. So I think we have a few more days, and we're sort of hopeful that we'll know sooner than the 27th on his actions. But everything is really still preliminary until he signs the budget.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
After I have reviewed this contract, I can make a motion. My motion will be to approve the selection of Isaacson and Miller and authorize the university to proceed with negotiations and award of contract.
Second. You have a first and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Passes unanimously. That concludes the executive committee portion of the
agenda. I can go through mine right quickly.